You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
God, you know, I just noticed I've my best Rams hoodie.
Yeah.
I've got cigarette burns in it.
Were you smoking?
Not exactly cigarettes.
Right, but you were smoking weed and you just probably get too stoned.
Very disappointing. It's my favorite hoodie. So, John, today is a day that I think they put, you know, there's always these national day of whatevers. And we like goofing on these. So today is a day that was almost put on the calendar for me. You know what
because
it is?
What?
It is National Fashion Day.
Oh, God.
Now, if there's one thing I am, it is extremely fashionable. John, do you agree?
Yeah. You're the least fashion conscious guy I know.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why I don't care. I always thought the advantage of being a guy, and I know now athletes are all doing different stuff. They've got their own lines of clothing, and guys like Russell Westbrook and all those guys get decked out and followed for their fashion all the time. I always thought the advantage of being a guy is you kind of don't have to worry about fashion. I mean, I'm kind of good in sweatshorts and a hoodie.
Yeah, there are times where you actually should pay attention to what you wear.
You think so?
Yeah, you just haven't gotten there yet.
I can do it when I need to. Like, I went to that wedding last month, and I was able to pull together a suit that managed to fit.
Right, but were you underdressed or overdressed compared to the other guests?
I was slightly underdressed because I did not and refused to wear a tie.
Yeah, and she requested formal.
Did she request? I forget the exact request.
Yeah.
In the end, she told me,
I'm going to go ahead and say whatever John thinks the invitation said is probably more accurate than your memory.
Yeah, but I don't think.
I was actually at the wedding.
Right, but you probably don't even remember anything about the wedding. Yet John.
Why are you questioning my memory? Why are you questioning my memory? I am sharp
everything.
As a tack.
Okay.
Sharp as a tack.
Sharp as a tack. That's what they say about me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you all, mm-hmm, on
yeah,
me.
That's we all nice. Remoted you.
That's nice. Mm-hmm.
Hey, mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys about something. All right, so the BBC, you guys know what that is? The British Broadcasting Company?
Yep.
All right, we're in the middle of Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah.
And so last night, Boris Becker, you know, who won Wimbledon a couple of times.
Yeah.
And is
yeah.
I'm glad fan. You're bringing this up.
Yeah, right. This is a good one.
So Becker commented on the attractiveness of a player's fiance. All right, mm-hmm. There's a player named Martin Fuchskovich, and his partner in the stands is a model. Her name is Annette Borzmenji.
Yeah, she's Hungarian.
Yeah, I probably brutalized her last name and mispronounced it left, right, and sideways. But here's what Becker said, quote,
okay.
They do say they have the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she is certainly very pretty. That's all he said.
Right.
Now, Stephanie Hilborn, who is the CEO of Women in Sport, has come out and condemned Becker's remarks. Hmm. He says, quote, or she says, quote, we have worked for decades to change sporting culture, including to end the objectification of women. When men are comfortable talking about women in this way, never mind on live TV, it shows that there is still more to do. Now, again, all Becker said,
she's pretty,
was she is certainly very pretty. So, and we should take some calls on this, 877-710-ESPN, because I genuinely have a question.
Okay.
Here's why.
Okay.
I compliment men and women on their looks all the time. If Ramona looks good on TV, sometimes I'll text her and say, you look great on Around the Horn today.
Yes.
Amanda, our boss, has great clothes. I'll sometimes say to Amanda, I love your fun pants. She has like these fun pants.
Yeah, she's very stylish.
Really, yeah, they're really colorful and fun. And she always says, thanks, I love these pants. You know, blah. Lindsay, I tell you to put more pictures up on your Instagram because I think you're pretty. Do I need to stop doing this for fear of being called out by groups like Women in Sports, like this Stephanie Hillborn?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but I also think
from?
This is way over the line. And I'd like to say, having been to Hungary, the most beautiful women are not in Hungary.
You're lying about that because I'm Hungarian. But
it's not known for having the most beautiful women.
Mace, you are very world traveled. Where would you say you've seen the most beautiful women?
Spain.
Now, do you think me just asking you that question will get me a tweet from someone saying you're objectifying women? This is a ridiculous thing.
Objectifying the women of Spain.
Yeah. I mean, what in the world?
Yeah.
She was pretty. And by the way, I looked at a picture of this girl. She is pretty.
She is pretty. Yeah, she's a beautiful girl. Yeah, I don't know. We can't go so far as to not be able to compliment each other.
Well,
I mean, she's pretty.
On looks. Apparently, this is now a thing to certain women's groups that want. Now, I understand the slope, okay, that for years men have made unwanted and unsolicited,
correct,
crude comments to women. But this wasn't that. He actually prefaced with he's never been to Hungary. He's heard that there are beautiful women there, and she is very pretty. That's not found?
Yeah, it's not like he's Brett Musburger saying, oh, she's a real hottie, or...
You know, did Musburger actually say real hottie?
He said something. Called someone hot or
And that was a college kid's girlfriend. That's,
yes.
And that falls into a different category.
Well, no, it was the girl that married A.J. McCarron.
Yes,
Catherine Webb. And they had a shot of her on the sidelines. And what I believe he said, Lindsay, I'd have to look it up, but I believe he said, the quarterback always gets the best-looking girls. And he caught a ton of crap for it. It just, to me, at what point...
By the way, can we just speak truth here? I think that's actually a fact. Don't the quarterbacks always get the prettiest girls?
I remember him, having a history of saying, creepy things. And it wasn't... And that wasn't, the only thing he said. It was something that was a little bit creepier, something a lot like a hubba hubba type of thing, you know, something weird. I'll look it
hubba
up.
Hubba hubba.
You know what I mean? Something along those lines.
Would I get in trouble if I said hubba hubba?
Hubba hubba.
Probably.
I mean, it's just, I don't know where the line is anymore.
No, it's impossible to know. It's impossible to know. And by the way, it's different in different circumstances. Like, for example, say that again, Jorge.
When Ryan in Hollywood, he says I'm wrong, and this is what I wanted. I wanted somebody to tell me why I'm wrong. Hey, Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John, how you doing? I love
good,
the show.
Ryan.
I love you guys. You guys are great.
All right, thanks,
good,
man.
So tell me why I'm wrong here.
I mean, you're wrong on, a lot of levels, which is surprising because you're usually pretty spot on about things. You're a really open dude, which I appreciate on the radio. It's a thing, when you say, that's all – the commentator said, that's plenty.
Ryan, what was offensive?
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
What was offensive in your opinion about what Becker said about that girl?
He doesn't know that woman. So when you give examples of how you text Ramona, you know Ramona. That's
right.
A friend. That's a different relationship. He doesn't know this woman at all. And to objectify her on live television, whether that's her job or not, isn't his job.
But Ryan, why is it objectifying to say that's a pretty girl?
It's not just he didn't just say she's a pretty girl. He said it in a smarmy, sarcastic manner, from what you're saying, right?
I don't think he did, but the fact that you took it that way is interesting because you sound like a pretty rational guy. You don't sound like a whack job.
John, when you say that's the way I took it, that's the way it should be taken. If you're not taking it that way, then I think you need to examine how you think.
Okay, so here's exactly what he said, Ryan. He said, they do say they have the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she's certainly very pretty. That, in your opinion, is out of bounds.
Yes, it has nothing to do with what's going on with the sport, for one.
Yeah, but you're cutting away to family members and spouses all the time during a tennis match. There's a lot of downtime.
Comment on how someone looks. on live television when you don't know them?
When well, it's if positive.
If you're a color commentator on TV, Ryan, you're commenting on what's on the screen. I mean, that's what all the best ones do.
Okay, fair. Fair point. So a more professional way, and I think, John, you would agree with this because you're a professional, right? Like, she's a model who makes her living being a beautiful woman. That's not out of bounds.
But that's also a very clunky way to say it.
Well, I know, but Ryan, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, no, that's good, Ryan. That's good.
I appreciate you guys. I love the show.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And so, like, you know, if he took it that way, then maybe we are on the wrong side of this. I don't know. I just don't think twice about complimenting.
No, when I see Lisa, I always say,
well, his point, Ryan's
you look great.
Come back,
you look pretty.
Ryan's comeback to that would be that you know her. So if I'm doing a game on TV and
they have a cutaway to let's say Halsey.
Like, remember Chet 40 used to look for beautiful women in the stands when he directed Monday Night Football.
And that, by the way, was a different time, and that was, I thought that was inappropriate. That was inappropriate because he was looking for women who were...
They do that on a lot of, like, the local sport, like TV and baseball stations still do that to this day.
Yeah, but you also see other the way Chet talked about it, it was like we're going to show these. I want to say he used the word honeys.
Yeah,
let's show some honeys is I think what Chet said, and there you do get into objectification.
But I think back then Don Meredith would go
look at that honey,
or like if you showed a girl that was that had tremendous upper body strength. Dandy Don would go, well, you know, Howard, they say everything's bigger in Texas. And everybody would laugh, and it would be no big deal. But maybe that is. I don't know.
Let's go to Adam in Hermosa Beach. Adam, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, Adam. What do you think?
First of all, Ryan, the last caller, is part of the problem with the world today is the oversensitification of society. It's just complete garbage that you can't even comment on a woman's attractiveness, even that, you know, she's a model. If she wasn't a model, it'd be the same thing. He made one simple comment that she's beautiful, and why is he being ridiculed for it? If she's beautiful, he's speaking a fact. If it was on the other side of the coin, it could be a woman saying the exact same thing. It could be a woman announcer commenting on a male in the stands being attractive. Why would we take offense to that? No.
Let's take that. Would that happen? Let's say I listened to the game last night on 710, the NBA Finals Game 2, and Doris Burke is doing the commentary. Do you think it would be weird if Doris Burke looked into the crowd and say, "Boy, his brother is really good looking"?
You know what? It may be weird coming from Doris, but let's ask Lindsay if, you know, women don't think the same way.
All right, so, Adam, I think you're – I tend to look at this exactly the way you looked at it.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting that Ryan, who sounded like, you know, one of our normal listeners –
rational guy.
Yeah, like feels completely opposite. Now, Mace, maybe this will lend some context to it.
Okay.
Jorge found exactly, I think Lindsay found it, exactly what Boris Becker said. So let's listen to it and see if it sounds as Ryan thought it might sound smarmy. Here it is.
That's Fushovitz's fiancé. Her name is Annette Bourgeois-Meunier. If you're a tennis player, always good to have a partner called Annette.
And they do say they have the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she's certainly very pretty.
That doesn't sound offensive.
That does not sound offensive at all.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
I mean, these, you know, I, this idea of woke, you know, I consider myself to be half awake. You know, half awake.
Adam, after hearing it, does it change your opinion at all?
Not at all, and I'm leaning more towards how you guys are thinking. There's literally nothing to that at all.
Yeah, all right, thank you, Adam, for the
phone. Couldn't agree more.
Hey,
couldn't agree more.
Is Josh still there, Jorge? Josh in Riverside. Okay, hey Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Hey guys, good afternoon. Great show.
Hi Josh.
First, what I could say is I think the first caller way off. You know, guys these days. it's very confusing for everybody, especially with all the new stuff coming in. There's a lot of social media, social dating, all that kind of stuff. For a guy to make a comment about how attractive a woman is, what's wrong with that? It should be, women should know they're attractive. You know, I follow Lindsay on
at Lindsay Baseball.
At Lindsay Baseball on Instagram.
At Lindsay Baseball.
Thank you.
That's who I follow on I follow you on Instagram, and I will say, hopefully it doesn't offend you, you are very pretty. But, you know, guys are afraid to do that in public anymore because
you're right.
It's so frowned upon.
Josh, you're right, because they don't know function. They don't know how it's going to be taken. Like Mace, right now I have Around the Horn on.
Yeah.
Jackie McMullen is on Around the Horn, and she's got this kind of fun polka dot blouse on that looks really good on TV.
Okay.
So if I were to tweet, I'm not going to do it, but if I were to tweet, Jackie McMullen looks great on Around the Horn today. That's it. Jackie McMullen looks great Around the Horn today. I think I'd get more criticism for that tweet than I would praise. Don't you?
I do. Now, if you replace the word looks great with hot, I think it takes on a different...
Or if I put Jackie McMullen looks hot and put a hot emoji, like a fire emoji...
Little fire emojis?
Then I would get crucified.
Then you would be in real trouble.
But Lindsay, if I wrote Jackie McMullen looks great today on Around the Horn, that's all it, and I hit send, wouldn't I get more criticism for that than what I intended it to be, which was a compliment to Jackie?
I think so, because especially a word like great, that could mean anything. Like, she looks great as in, like, she's doing a good job on TV. You know what I mean?
No, I think the blowback would be, well, why aren't you writing that about Kevin Blackstone, who's on the panel with Jackie? You just wrote that because she's a woman. But I sent a McMenamin a text yesterday. McMenamin was wearing all black.
Yeah.
Okay? And he was in Phoenix for the finals. So I sent Dave, this was private, I sent him a text, I didn't tweet it, but I wrote to him, going all black, including a sports coat, in 110-degree heat is a baller move. Way to go. Now, if I wrote that about a woman, I'd probably get hammered. I was like, you know, it's so weird, these standards now, that I don't know where the line is.
Right. Well, I think nobody does. We're all kind of feeling it out because the wokesters are everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, and this one is just way, way crazy that you're not allowed to say somebody's pretty when you see them on TV.
Yeah, apparently not.
At least according to her.
Would it be different? I mean, there's so many levels to this. Would it be different if you, because you're out,
yep,
if you said a complimentary thing about a guy's looks, would somebody come at you with,
hey,
like,
Kevin Blackstone looks really good today?
Yeah, well Mason shooting his shot with Kevin Blackstone, you know? That's what I guarantee you, somebody would write that.
Yeah, no, absolutely yeah. would.
And
absolutely
you,
would.
You just were complimenting the way the guy dressed.
I mean, yep.
We got to be able to compliment each other, people. Everybody relax.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody needs to lighten up. Lighten up. Hey, John, I wanted to throw this at you because there is evidence that one guy – since Goopgate has completely fallen apart.
Really?
And you will be surprised at who it is. That's
coming
up next.
I wondered if there'd be somebody. If they said you can't put stuff on the ball, would fall off a cliff.
Yeah, you'll love this one.
You found one.
You'll love this one. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Again. All right. Hey, it was fun meeting everybody at the Black Widow screening last night at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina.
What did they think of the movie after it was over? What were people saying?
People were saying, wow.
How do you know?
Wow. because I communicate with everybody that we exchange numbers with every one of the listeners who was there, and so we've been texting back and forth ever since.
I'm giving Mason a hard time because he admitted earlier he left before the movie started.
Yes, I left right after the trailers. Left right after the trailers. I ghosted it. I will see it this weekend, but it's West Covina.
What's wrong with West Covina?
No, I mean, it's a far away from me.
Right, but if I mean Dodger Stadium's far away from you, you didn't leave Dodger Stadium at 7 o'clock if you were out there to watch a game.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody who was out there though. lot of listeners, lot of fans, lot of people that stick with us through everything, through every time slot, and all that stuff. So we love you guys and thanks. Hope you liked the movie, Jorge. You stayed for the movie, and it was
great. It was a good movie, fun, entertaining, action packed, funny. Man, it was a really good movie.
Awesome. Okay, so there's your review of Black Widow, which is now open everywhere, courtesy of Disney's Marvel. So, John, you remember when the subject first came up about sticky stuff in the baseballs?
Yeah, it's what they call it, spider tack.
Spider tack.
Yeah, now, and players didn't know what to say about it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I want to go back and listen to Garrett Cole try to answer this question when he was asked directly.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
So that was a really long way of saying yes.
Yeah, but he would have been so much better off if he just would have gone, yeah, I know a lot of pitchers who've tried it. I'm one of them. But it sounds like we're moving away from that, so I'm going to have to try, I'm going to have to try something else.
Okay, so he is among the pitchers that have completely broken down since the new rules, since the old rule started being enforced. From April 1 to June 2nd, this was pre-illegal substances checking, Garrett Cole had a .178 ERA, a .83 whip, and 12.35 strikeouts per nine. Since then, he's got a 5.24 ERA, a .122 whip, and only 9.96 strikeouts per nine.
5.2 ERA?
He went from 1.78 to 5.24.
Wow, so I wonder if he can pitch without this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and he's not the only one, as Lindsay pointed out during the break. Aroldis Chapman's ERA before June the 3rd was .41, and since then is 18.9.
Wow.
So this stuff was definitely working for players.
So what it is, Mace? It's the equivalent of the home run numbers coming way down.
Yep.
When they got a hold of the steroid problem. Remember when the steroids were going, guys like Brady Anderson were hitting 50-plus home runs. Sammy Sosa went north of 60 three
yep.
times. And then all of a sudden, they got a hold of the steroids. They started cracking down. And I think, within 2 years, the guy who won the home run title was in the 40s.
Yep. Offense is up since they did it. Offense is up, not gigantically, but up. Spin rates way down. The ability for baseball pitchers to spin the ball way down. It hasn't really affected the Dodgers. Nobody on the Dodgers has all of a sudden fallen apart. Trevor Bauer didn't pitch great after that rule went into effect, but he didn't pitch terribly.
Here's something interesting. Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole were teammates together at UCLA.
Right.
They don't like each other. When Garrett Cole went to Houston, Trevor Bauer was calling him out.
Yep.
Basically saying that these guys are messing with spin rates. They're messing with other things. They're basically cheating. And nobody wanted to listen to Trevor Bauer because he's always talking. But maybe this is something Garrett Cole has leaned on for years. If Trevor Bauer was telling the truth, it appears that's probably true. But, you know, now Trevor Bauer's in his own controversy, so no one's going to believe him. It's very interesting, though, that those numbers are worth keeping an eye on to see if he can figure it out.
Yeah, no question.
By the way, he's I think, the one I mentioned earlier, Trevor Bauer's the highest-paid pitcher in baseball. I think Garrett Cole's top three.
Yeah, I mean, he signed that gigantic deal with the Yankees.
Right.
Gigantic deal. Last year
he was great.
Yep.
And
so,
let me get this in there.
Yeah, do it.
Lindsay, you still there?
No, I just left.
Oh, well, I thought you might have taken off. Okay,
yeah, well,
I'm
you know, your air
here.
Conditioning's broken, so I figured you might have gone out and jumped in the pool.
Why would I not be here? I'm
right,
here
so
all the time.
We
here.
Found the clip of Brent Musburger talking about AJ McCarron's now wife, Catherine Webb. This is not Boris Becker. This sounds like it may be over the line.
And, John, to put this in context, this is still while A.J. McCarron was playing at the college level, right?
Right, and he will explain all of that. But, okay. Lindsay, you tell me if this is harmless fun or creepy, okay? Here we go.
Back into the game. Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's AJ's mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow, AJ's doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
All right, he's tipped over to sleep.
Yeah, I feel like it was a bit much, because especially the, oh, wow. It was like creepy uncle territory for sure.
Yeah, that
it
one,
also is a, it, the context is also it's a college kid,
right?
Which is exceptionally creepy, Brent.
But it's interesting. I think that was in 2013. After going through the Me Too movement, it sounds worse, doesn't it?
Sounds far worse.
And by the way, thank you to Jim Feigert, who sent us that clip. Who dug
he
it?
Sounds
up and
so
it
smarmy,
us.
So yeah. Smarmy. You know who I'm tired of, John?
Whom?
As of right now. I won't say tired. I'm annoyed with Andre Drummond of the Lakers. Do you know why?
No.
Okay, I'll explain it coming up next for you. Mason and Radio Tinder's coming up at 2:45. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, what is up? It is Friday. It's an effing Friday. Always Fridays are effing Fridays.
Hey, did anybody feel a sonic boom this morning at 9:20?
I don't. I was sleeping. I don't think I felt it.
You were asleep at 9:20?
Yeah.
Even though you went to bed at 9 o'clock?
I slept till 10:30 this morning.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I love sleep. Sleep
yeah,
is so
it said,
underrated.
According to the USGS earthquake website, 9:20 a.m., seemed like a quake, but it was a sonic boom. Felt for as far as Huntington Beach to Thousand Oaks.
Huh. Yeah, no, did not feel it.
Did not.
Did you?
I didn't feel no boom.
Yeah, I didn't either. There have been, what do they call it, like a swarm of earthquakes or something going around. The earthquakes are going around.
Good to know.
I was talking to Ramona today. She said, and everything's sort of goofed up right now. Like, everything's sort of upside down in my life at the moment. She said it's bad astrology.
Really? She's into
that. She says, astrologically, it is really, really bad right now, so everybody should lay low. Now, here's the thing I don't understand. Like, okay, so the astrology's bad. So I'm going through something, and so I can blame it on the astrology. Somebody's gonna hit the lottery today. Why did the astrology not affect them? Why did they have the best day of their lives despite the astrology?
Yeah, I went through a phase long, long time ago, like maybe it was in my 20s when I paid attention to my horoscope. It lasted about 3 weeks.
Is it again, Jorge? Is Mercury in retrograde again?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. You know, I don't get that astrology stuff.
Momo's into all that stuff for charts and this moon.
Well, obviously
is here,
somebody is.
This planet's there. And
I used to work with a reporter that would go to a... I don't even know. She'd go to a psychic like three or four times a year and literally followed verbatim what the psychic told her, like swore by it. Other than that, she's totally normal.
Okay, so I have a friend. Actually, I haven't talked to her in a long time. She moved to England, but her name is Jackie. And Jackie had a beloved, beloved dog, like, you know, part of her family kind of dog. And she actually, after the dog passed away, went to what was called, I'm going to use air quotes, a pet psychic to communicate with her dog. And I'm like, your dog couldn't talk while he was here. What do you expect him to say to you now with this pet psychic? People are so gullible. I think psychics can be really dangerous. I think they walk you into things. Like, I know somebody who said, oh, you're not going to be with your current spouse in a few years. And I think as soon as somebody says that, It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen because it was suggested.
Bias.
Yeah, yeah, suggested by the psychic. All right. So, Lindsay, do we ever pull that thing that we were trying to pull? Okay, we do. So, Lindsay, you set this up for me, will you?
You want me to set it up because
set up
you
sound,
don't know.
I don't know what the sound is. Correct.
So
I have no idea what the sound
topic
is.
About something you have no idea what it is.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Friday.
Yes. I'm trying to get out of here on effing vacation, and I don't need any effing stuff right now.
It's Friday.
I can tell. Well, so this clip is, I mean,
T-minus hour and a half, Mace. You're in the home stretch.
You have the whole backstory on Andre Drummond, and this was after all of that happened. So this is in response to that.
Okay. Right, so
I can set it up.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So Andre Drummond was doing interviews and has been doing interviews talking about how it all started when he responded to a post on social media. Somebody tweeted at him, why don't you score as much as Jokic and Embiid? And his response was, if the coach played me more,
correct,
I would. Which I think what you're reacting to. Then, Lindsay, I think the sound you're going to play is that now Drummond says he was playing us all along, right? Here's what Drummond said yesterday.
Well, one, it wasn't an issue to begin with. I used that to, I'm actually launching an NFT on Friday. So that was just to, you know, get everybody's attention to really look forward to something.
Aha! Well, we will ask you about the NFT too, but that's strategic, interesting strategy.
Strategic.
Very strategic. You know, I just, did what I needed to. I got the attention. Now I'm talking to you guys. So I get to talk about it more.
There we go. Well, I will ask you then the more broad question. Were you happy in a Laker uniform this season?
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. I think my time and experience in L.A. has been really good. I think I've learned a lot, you know, being with those guys, LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
Okay,
and it fades out.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andre Drummond did have that exchange on Instagram. I wish you – somebody posted a message. I wish you could only dominate the paint like Lopez and Ayton. And Drummond fired back, y'all, coach, play me more, and I could. So – essentially griping about his playing time and said he could do more damage if he had gotten more consistent time. So now he's releasing an NFT. And I have said over and over again, NFTs, I think, are completely over. I do not think any... Who
what?
Wants an Andre Drummond NFT? Now, if you tell me, let's say Aaron Donald is going to have an NFT, a guy who I know is going to the Hall of Fame, I'll say, sure, NFT, I get that with Aaron Donald. I get that if LeBron James did it. I get that if, like, for example, now Chris Paul did it, who's about to become an NBA champion. I get it if it's a big star. I don't get it if it's Andre Drummond. Who is in the market for an Andre Drummond NFT?
Depends what it is, right? Depends what he's doing.
Well, think about it. Think about it as a digital trading card. Now, what is a digital trading card of Andre Drummond worth?
Now nothing. But will it be worth something in 20 years? I mean, he's going to lead the league in rebounding a bunch more times. I don't think he's getting to the Hall of Fame, but you never know. The Basketball Hall of Fame's the easiest Hall of Fame to get into.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's not just what you did in the NBA. Yeah, and it's, you know, there's all sorts of coaches, contributors.
Media people. Yeah. International players.
Right. So there's, it's not inconceivable that Drummond could one day get there. It's unlikely.
It's completely unlikely, and I'm prepared to say it's not going to happen. And
by the way,
NFT.
I'd be surprised if, you know, somebody else asked him, would you be interested in coming back to the Lakers? And his comment was, well, I ain't playing for the minimum or something like that. A lot of the people that play for the Lakers next year, it's going to be dependent on what deals they're willing to take.
Sure.
The Lakers don't have unlimited cap space. Matter of fact, they've got to do some cap gymnastics. So Drummond could rule himself out before this free agency. You know, it opens on August 2nd, less than a month from now. If he's not willing to at least play ball a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Drummond was a huge disappointment. I mean, if you talk to Laker fans, Andre Drummond was a huge disappointment. He didn't deliver in those moments when LeBron and AD were out. He didn't play a factor, a role in the playoffs very much at all. I don't think Andre Drummond is a guy that's going to return to the Lakers.
He played in 21 games. Yep. I would welcome him back if he'd be willing to, you know, work within the salary constraints. And to be honest, if he's comfortable eating third or sometimes even fourth, because LeBron and AD are going to be 1-2, whatever order you want to put him in.
Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. You can follow Lindsay on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. What do you got?
All right, so guys, have a question for you based on my good friend Andrew Lynch. Shout out to Andrew, a good friend of mine here in LA. He's a diehard, born and raised, huge Phoenix Suns fan. So he wants to see his team win the championship. So he spent $3,000 on a ticket to Game 5 in Phoenix, pretty good seats, and he's flying there tonight in hopes of seeing his team win it all this weekend. He was asking me yesterday, like, how much is too much for me to go, you know, to spend on this game for a ticket? And I said, it's a championship. There is no limit. So what do you guys think? Is there an amount of money that you think is too high to pay to spend to see your team win a championship? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, Mace, you're a better person to ask this than me, because I think the two most expensive game tickets you ever bought were Dodgers-Astros Game 7 at Dodger Stadium.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Rams Patriots Super Bowl. Are you comfortable admitting how much you paid for each?
I will admit it. For Game 7, Astros Dodgers, I paid a total of, Juan and I went to the game together, paid a total of $4,000.
Okay.
Which is a ton of money.
How much for the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl, where I went to see the Rams and Patriots, was a total of $6,000. That is like,
I have never.
That's 10,000 combined, Mason.
10 grand for those two events.
I wasn't doing the math.
Is that good math?
Right, that's more than I would be comfortable paying.
Yeah.
I think the most I would ever pay for a ticket I'd probably cap it at $2,000. And if I'm willing to go $2,000, you could probably bleed me to get me to $2,500. But after that, I'm probably not going any higher. I just think I'd be uncomfortable spending that much for a ticket. Now, Mace, looking back, you went through the experiences. Obviously, they didn't win either one, but you've been in a lot of big events. Had they won, would it have been worth it?
Absolutely would have been worth it. And, you know, here's the weird thing about it. So Well, first of all, Juan and I are big Rams fans, so we wanted to be there together. Baseball, Juan's not a big Dodger fan, but he wanted to be there when I finally saw the Dodgers win a championship. That's the reason we both went.
Did he go with you to Dallas?
No, did not go to Dallas. Dallas, that was all locked down for the World Series.
Okay.
Very few people.
Because you were there when the Dodgers won in Dallas.
I was there.
It was the same situation I had with the Lakers. It was
weird,
different because of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, there was a collection of fans, but the place wasn't nearly full. You know, there are just some things that emotionally I feel like I'm – this is like the one thing. Rams season tickets, it's a splurge item for me. I mean, it's out right. of character for me
yeah,
to
I was
spend –
I was with Billy Mack last night, and he was saying the same thing. He's not normally somebody that blows a lot of money on tickets, but he is going to do it for Rams season tickets. It's something he does with his boys who are now grown.
Yep.
And so it's something they all share together. And he just said there are very few things that does that. And I will say this. I've been in the building for five different Lakers titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll remember – and two of them were in L.A. and three of them were on the road. And I'll remember those – clinching games forever.
Right.
Forever. So if you are a gigantic fan of your team and you can afford it.
Yes.
Then I would do it. I would probably set my limit at 2 G's and let them bleed me up to 2,500.
Well, and you know, the other thing is I could go on a press pass, but I don't feel on a press pass like I'm really experiencing the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I like to be there as a fan.
Five of mine were press passes.
Yeah, I like to be there as a fan, just as enjoying it like everybody else, rooting like everybody else. So, yeah, but those are huge splurges for me. And the Rams season tickets, the personal seat license, huge splurge for me.
Lindsay, what's the most money you've ever spent on a ticket for a game or a concert?
Well, see, I'm in the media, so.
So most of the time you do what I do. You go on a press pass.
Or a lot of times, like with the Indians, when they went to the World Series, this is the flip side of this conversation. They allow the press to buy like the media seats. You know, they allot a certain number to the media and you can buy them at face value, you know, whatever. So you just buy them through the team. So I bought, I think, two standing room only tickets to game 7 of the World Series in 2016. And we also had already all gone to the first game. And I think it was either game 1 or game 3. But
okay.
Anyway.
Go ahead, finish that story, and then I got a tough question for you.
Okay, so we had two tickets. My brother also got one from a friend, whatever. And there's a group of everyone. Like, it was my dad, me, my sister, my brother, my brother-in-law, a couple other people. There was six or seven of us. And somebody offered me $2,000 cash, I think it was, for these two tickets where I paid $100 each for the tickets. And
I would have sold.
Well, me and my dad debated it. And my brother, he was like, well, I really want to go. And we're like, well, only two of us can go, maybe a third person. So we all want to be together if they win, to experience this together. So what ended up happening was I sold the tickets and we watched the game together at my sister's house. And they ended up losing, but I will say that when the Cavs won and we were all together, that was the best moment of my life.
All right, so with that in mind, here's my impossible scenario for you, okay? You've said you've never seen your dad happier than the night the Cavs won the title.
He even says it was the happiest day of his life.
Okay. The Browns make it to the Super Bowl this year, which happens to be, you know where it is?
Here in L.A.
Yep, at SoFi Stadium. I can get you two really good seats. So you can put your dad inside the building for the Super Bowl, but the seats are $2,500 each. $5,000 total, but you can have them, and I'm giving them for you at whatever face value is, but you got to pay $2,500 a piece. Are you in or out?
I'd be out, I think.
Just because that number is too steep.
It's too expensive, but I'll say, going back to the Cavs, when the Cavs won, I would have paid whatever. Because that's the only one. That's the first and the only one.
And I think
based on where that team's going, maybe the last one.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever see anything. The Cavs, Indians, or Browns. I mean, maybe the Browns. But anyway, I think that I would have paid whatever for the first one. And especially like now going back, like looking at that moment, nothing will ever top seeing like my city's team win the championship.
Well, and LeBron screaming at the top of his lungs, Cleveland, that's for you.
Yeah, I mean
it was
a story
in a generation.
Exactly. So I don't think anything will be able to top that. And I think that at the end of the day, when we all decided to forego the World Series, we were happy that we did it because the stadium was overrun by Cubs fans. They lost, and we had a good time just hanging out, even though it didn't end the way we wanted it to.
All right, what's next?
All right, so Reds pitcher Sonny Gray struggled through the first four innings of his start against the Royals on Wednesday, allowing a pair of runs on seven hits. After about the fourth inning, Gray decided that he needed to switch some things up, so he ran into the locker room, and here's what he said he did next.
I came into the clubhouse, and I got completely naked, and I changed everything that I was wearing except for my cleats because I didn't want to go out there in white cleats. I had gray cleats on. So I just kind of tried to cool off. I changed my jersey, my pants, my underwears, and my socks. I guess that's all I was wearing. And just tried to like reset and start over.
So he ended up, when they ended up winning the game, he went on and completely turned it around. I accidentally deleted the stats, but the rest of his outing was great. They won the game.
Right.
And, you know, baseball players are probably the most superstitious, I think, of all the sports. Want to ask if you guys have any weird superstitions, sports, golf, whatever related.
All right, I've told this story before, but I have when things are not going well for me in golf, I always have two balls in my pocket, and I pay attention to the numbers on the balls, and I will only do number combinations that have Laker greats. In other words, if I have my favorite one is a 2 and a 4. Because 24 is Kobe Bryant and 42 is James Worthy. Okay. I also will do a 3 and a 4. That's Shaquille O'Neal, 34, and Michael Thompson, 43. I will do 13, a 1 and a 3, because that's Wilt. And I will never do 1 and a 4 because that's not anybody. You know, it's like the best I can do there is Brandon Ingram and Eldon Campbell. So I'll never play a 1 and a 4 together. And I will never play a 1 and a 2 together because there's never been a famous 21, although 12 was Pat Riley as a player. Mm. But that's it. So I'm like crazy superstitious on stuff like that.
I'm very, very superstitious. And particularly during Rams games, I will change my clothes multiple times. This will be my lucky hoodie. No, this is my lucky. They won last week when I wore this, so I have to wear this again. I'm extremely superstitious about that. The other thing that I'm weird about is the volume on the TV. You know how there's like numbers,
right?
When you're putting the volume up on the TV, it's 31, it's 32, it's 33. It has to always be an odd number for me. I can never watch TV.
An odd number.
Wait a minute, Mace. Wait a minute. What if the game is going horribly wrong? Will you switch to an even number to try and change your life?
I can't deal with even numbers. In fact, I don't. I've never lived in a house that had an even number. Like, I'm so superstitious about it. I so like odd numbers that when I've gone shopping for houses or apartments or whatever, I only consider the ones that have odd number addresses.
Now it all makes sense because I am the opposite. Everything has to be even numbered. And I always feel like if it's something's odd numbered, then, like, it throws everything off.
Oh, that's where you and I have. Yeah, see, we're on different sides
of that. Different numerology planes. Yeah. All right, Lindsay, you got one more?
Yes, I do. Real quick before I get to this last one, for what it's worth, my dad's listening, and he said, I'm in. It's the Browns.
Yeah, I figured he would be.
Hypothetical.
I figured he would be, yeah.
Well, good, Dad. Then you can cough up the $5,000.
Yeah.
He might only buy one ticket and go without you.
Go by himself, yeah. All right, so last one here. Have you guys ever heard in your life that it's poor manners to eat the free bread served at some restaurants as soon as it arrives at your table?
Because I do that every time.
Right. I've never heard of that being a thing in my entire life. But one woman made waves on Twitter today when she posted the following tweet with a poll. Quote, had this argument in a group chat, but I want to know the truth. Isn't it very tacky for somebody to eat the free bread as soon as you get it? You should wait 5 minutes before reaching for the bread. If you're that hungry, you should have had a pregame meal.
Okay, so before I share the results of this poll, and just so you guys know, 370,000 people voted on it.
Okay.
370,000?
Wow, that's
yes.
amazing.
Yes, what do you think? What do you think most people said? Is it very tacky for someone to eat the free bread as soon as it arrives?
Why hell, hell no. I think most people do eat it as soon as it arrives. Yeah. I think it's 90% it's not tacky.
It's the start of dinner. I don't understand what this
I'm
lady's
going,
gripe
Lindsay,
is about.
I'm going 90% not
yeah,
tacky.
I'm in the ballpark.
What were the results?
97.3% of them said, no, it's not tacky. So apparently this woman is off her rocker because I've never heard that being a thing.
And there are some places that have, like, insanely good bread. Mace, there's a place that I don't know if you've ever
Cheesecake
been.
Cheesecake Factory has
That's
great
by
bread.
Your house.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been? It's right down on the water. Lindsay, it's pretty close to where you live, too. It's called C&O Trattoria.
Yes! Oh, C&O Trattoria is where Juan and I had our very first date.
Okay. So they do this weird thing. At the top of every hour, they play Volare by yes. Dean Martin. When the moon hits the, sky, like a big pizza pie, that's Volare.
Amore. Amore.
There's
yeah.
Amore vibe. Volare yeah. was a car where they stole the song.
Volare is
yeah,
a car, yeah.
It is. Amore. You're right. That's Amore is the name of the song. So, and they bring this garlic bread. They're garlic bread balls.
Yeah, out like to the tape.
Yeah, and you cannot stop eating them. They are
By the way,
incredible.
And don't you think it's better to eat the bread? I mean, a lot of
when
places bake their own bread. Eat it when it's hot and the butter will melt on it. I mean, I jump at the bread. I lunge at it.
If that's tacky, we finish it at the table. We ask for more.
I do, too.
Hey, my grandmother, Rose Santa Cruz, God bless her, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, used to ask for extra bread and then stick it in her purse and bring it home with her.
I know
that
people
song
do
up,
that.
Jorge. All right, so, Mace, you know this. Everybody in the restaurant sings along with the song. So if you're looking for someplace fun to go, check that place out.
Yeah, it's a fun place. It's a fun joint. C&O Trattoria.
All right, well, that is it for Radio Tinder.
All right.
But you can keep playing this music all you want because it's a great tune.
Yes, it is. So Kurt Warner has got a new movie coming out. And the world is divided on on the trailer. Some people really love it, and some people think it's hokey. Let's do that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.